Private sperm bank of three men have fathered more than 600 children in Quebec. Promised carbon capture facility is cancelled due to high costs. Loblaws begs Canadians, don't steal from us. Another Boeing whistleblower has died, and Russian troops land in Niger at the same airbase where U.S. troops are stationed. Good morning. It's Friday, May 3rd. I'm Nora. Here are your headlines. First, we start in Quebec, where a clandestine sperm bank operated by three men, two of whom are related, have fathered more than 600 children. Now, I have to say, I've known about this for a while now through a friend. She introduced me to the term artisanal sperm bank. Trust me, it sounds better in French, but that's what this is called. And as you might imagine, it has put public health agencies in a crisis mode. While the children are located all over Quebec, the fact that two of the three men are related to each other makes this an even bigger public health emergency. The children that these men have fathered must be kept away from one another romantically to make sure they never procreate. The news, as it's being reported now, was broken by Nouveau TV journalists Marie-Christine Bergeron and Maxime Landry. The youngest children in this situation are still infants, and the eldest are 15 or so. Women who were looking to start families and not go through the formal health system found the men through Facebook ads. But at least one of the men also donated sperm to fertility clinics. One of the men carries a rare genetic disorder that parents will have to watch out for in their kids. It impacts the liver and also possibly the kidneys. This news came out of a three-part documentary series from Nouveau that triggered many, many more parents to reach out to the journalists to say that there was an issue even greater than they thought it was. The original title of the series is One Man, 100 Children. And at this point, with three men and more than 600 children, this has grown significantly. As a result, Nouveau TV has put out a fourth episode, and it will be released next week. Next to Edmonton, where a multi-billion dollar plan to create a carbon capture and storage project has collapsed. Wallace Snowden with CBC is reporting that Capital Power Corp had planned to build the facility for $2.4 billion at its Genesee Natural Gas Power Plant southwest of Edmonton. Snowden reports that, quote, up to 3 million tons of carbon dioxide per year would have been captured by the facility, unquote. Though I think we should be really careful with those claims, as carbon capture is mostly propaganda from the oil industry. And proof of that? Well, the project is being canceled because it, quote, no longer makes financial sense, unquote. The federal government said that they still think carbon capture is a good idea, but they can't bankroll all projects. And the provincial government blamed Ottawa for not giving them enough money or more money to do carbon capture. Capital Power might try carbon capture later on as the technology improves and becomes cheaper. The company is hoping to hit net greenhouse gas emissions by 2045, if, of course, we're still around. The plan, if you can believe this, is that once the carbon is captured, it will be blown into the earth and put in storage wells that are 3,000 meters below the surface. Snowden reports that this is being, quote, touted as an effective way to reduce Canada's carbon footprint, unquote. Snowden doesn't mention how much more gas will be processed thanks to the expanded Trans Mountain pipeline that was just online this week, and that for the industry, they don't actually care about saving the planet at all. If they did, they would shut down, like, actually. And for that matter, neither does the government. The government needs carbon capture to justify this out-of-control oil and gas production that is still happening. This article is a great example of the smoke and mirrors industry of battling climate change. Next, Loblaws has been getting a lot of heat in the past several weeks as Canadians have been organizing boycott actions and things like, quote, steal from Loblaws Day, unquote. Well, Galen Weston and the CEO of Loblaws Per Bank, that's the guy's name, are calling the criticisms of their company, quote unquote, misinformation, a word that journalist Heather Wright doesn't actually put into scare quotes in the piece. Wright speaks with Carolyn Schwimm, who has a great quote, which I will read to you. Quote, I come from a country where there's a competition commission, and I think that canoodling and price fixing between the shops here is really disgusting, unquote. Schwinn's country is South Africa. And yes, the lack of competition in Canada is a massive problem. In the first quarter of 2024, Loblaws made 10% more in profit than last year. In just 3 months, they made $459 million off of selling us food. Wright also gives us data for Sobeys and Metro. Sobeys made less, but still tons of money. And Metro actually lost some money, but made more than $200 million in quarter one last year. As for the steal from Loblaws idea, Bank and Weston, quote, slammed the idea, unquote, hoping that Canadians would not steal from them, which, I don't know, maybe should make someone theoretically want to steal from them even more. Next, the news at Boeing just seems to be getting stranger and more concerning. A second whistleblower has died. He also called attention to manufacturing defects in the 737 MAX plane. Spirit AeroSystems had fired Joshua Dean in retaliation, according to Dean, for identifying the lax standards that were common at the Kansas manufacturing plant. Dean had a sudden illness and died. He was just 45. Spirit AeroSystems is the manufacturer who built the door of the 737 MAX 9, the same door that blew out on an Alaskan Airlines flight earlier this year. Despite having been in good health and having had what Al Jazeera calls a healthy lifestyle, Dean's died from an MRSA infection. That is a fast-moving staph infection. This happened just over 6 weeks since John Barrett, another whistleblower from Boeing, also died. Dean's told NPR in an interview in February that Boeing operated like this, quote, if you are too loud, we will silence you, unquote. And finally to Niger, where Russian military personnel have landed at an airbase that is currently where American troops are staying. Russian troops arrived after the military government of Niger has expelled nearly 1,000 American forces from that country. Niger was an important ally to the United States until the military coup. The airbase is located near Niamey, and a senior defense official told Reuters that troops from the two countries are not mingling. They are in separate hangars. U.S. troops have also been asked to leave Chad, Mali, and Burkina Faso. One of the airbases in Niger, called Airbase 201, was built in 2018 by the United States, and it isn't clear what will happen to the equipment and installations when the Americans leave. It's worth mentioning that several of the coup leaders were actually educated in the United States. Russian troops have been more and more called on by these governments as they've been de-emphasizing their relationship with the West, causing some Western analysts to express concern. Those are your headlines for Friday, May 3rd. I'm Nora. It's a Friday. It's Friday. I hope you have something lined up this weekend that's going to be super fun. And I hope that the weather is getting nice wherever you are located in this broad and vast country. Actually, in the world. You know, I know there's folks that listen to this podcast all around the world. So I hope that you have something nice going on for you in the next couple of days. You are listening to this podcast at sandynora.com on the Real News Network podcast feed and anywhere you get your podcasts. I will talk to you on the other side of this weekend.